One of the more controversial things that the Missouri legislature has been debating is Senate Joint Resolution 39, which has been billed by its proponents as protecting businesses and individuals from having to work for gay couples who want to get married or LGBT people, etc. What it really, of course, was a way to use religion to discriminate. And I'm glad to tell you that last night the measure was defeated on a 6-6 vote, this after a long filibuster. Tony Messenger has been writing about this for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch and joins me now to talk about it. Hi, Tony. How are you?
Hi, Paul. How are you?
Are you happy with the result?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I wish it were better than 6-6, but in today's legislature, that's about the best you can hope for. But it effectively kills the bill, at least for this session, and hopefully gets the legislature to focus on some other things. What's really telling to me, you know, when you look at legislation and you look at what leaders are trying to do to get it passed, you can make a pretty clear determination as to whether or not they're actually trying to solve a problem or whether or not they're trying to force a political vote. And what's obvious about SJR 39 is there were lots of legal opinions, including by respected Republican attorneys, conservative Republican attorneys, saying, look, this thing is a pile of crap. It's really poorly written. It's really broad. It says it's going to protect pastors and clergy, but they already have clear, solid First Amendment protections. And instead, it opens it up not just to the bakers and the florists that the proponents were talking about, but all sorts of private businesses. And it got in the way of relationships between employers and their employees. And it basically created this situation that would have existed in Missouri law if it went forward, in which anybody could claim a religious reason to want to discriminate against gay people for almost anything in any sort of circumstance. It wasn't narrow. It wasn't what the proponents said it was going to be. So what's telling is this thing gets through the Senate. It goes over to the House. That's when I started writing about it, and people started really paying attention to it. And all these legal opinions come out that say, look, you got to fix this, you got to fix this, you got to fix this. So it's in committee. That's the place where you make changes to legislation, where you make bad legislation better. And they never made any changes. They just held a vote on it. And that tells you what was going on here. The proponents said, this goes through exactly how it is because we need a vote in August or November or whatever to try to get our folks out. And that's just absolutely the worst thing you can do in the legislature. And to do that in the name of discriminating against fellow Missouri citizens, it's disgusting. So I'm glad it lost by tying, but it's going to be back next year in some capacity until we as a society just get over this issue that same-sex marriage is the law of the land. Love is going to win, and my neighbor's gay wedding is not going to affect my heterosexual marriage at all.
Right.
Sorry about that. I'm my
on the round.
My car is telling me where to go.
That's okay. Your GPS is welcome on the show anytime. You talked about how broadly and badly written this bill was. As I understood it, somebody could discriminate against a single mother who had gotten pregnant out of wedlock and then had the child, and you could say, I'm not going to serve you in my restaurant because it's against my religious beliefs for you to have had sex outside of marriage. That's how stupidly written this law was.
Yes, that's what at least one of the legal interpretations is. Here's another one that makes it even worse. It legalized murder.
What do you mean?
There is a legal interpretation out there by some lawyers from WashU and Columbia University that said that basically what it did is if Westboro Baptist Church wanted to come in here and you know, hold some sort of a protest against gays or whomever, and they decided that, and, you know, something got out of hand and somebody died, that law would give them a legal defense because they were acting on their sincere religious belief. It's,
wow.
It's just, you know, and I know that's not what the writers and the proponents of that legislation intended.
Yep.
But in a serious legislative discussion, when you come across interpretations like that, you go back to the drawing board and you narrowly tailor your bill so that it does what you actually intended it to do.
But you know, Tony, when somebody talks like that, when they say, well, that's not what we intended with our law, what I hear is, look, we do want to discriminate because we're bigots, but we don't want it to go that far. Well, our bigotry is okay, but that kind of bigotry is too much. And that's ridiculous. And you know what it reminds me of? Remember the Republicans who were going around in many of our state legislatures and municipal ones as well a couple of years ago shouting about Sharia law? And they're passing laws banning Sharia law because we can't have Islamic fundamentalists writing laws that would be against our way of life. But in their mind, it's okay for Christian fundamentalists to do exactly the same thing.
Well, but here's why that's such a great comparison, Paul. You know what this legislation would have done? It would have legalized Sharia law.
Yes.
Because a Muslim acting on their sincere religious belief to discriminate against a Christian would have been legal in the state of Missouri if SJR 39 passed.
Yeah.
That's how ridiculous this was. And that's what happens when you decide discrimination is part of your political platform.
How much of the pressure from the business community, I mean, even the CEO of Monsanto came out against this thing publicly. How much of that do you think impacted it being defeated in this legislative session?
I think it helped. You know, the first column I wrote on this bill was sort of calling out some of the CEOs and pointing out that Monsanto was leading and some of the others weren't. And eventually a lot of business leaders in this community in St. Louis and Kansas City, all over the state, stepped up and wrote a letter opposing SJR 39. I really wish they would have done it before it passed the Senate, but I believe their impact was effective. What I would ask them all is if they would consider doing this more often. There are a lot of things that happen in the Missouri legislature that are bad for business, that are particularly bad for the St. Louis region in terms of how St. Louis is trying to attract immigrants and the legislature is making that harder. And there are some business leaders who are absolutely leading on some of those issues, but I would love to see more of those CEOs, as they did on SJR 39, add their name to these sorts of things publicly to say, look, many of them are Republicans, but they don't buy into a lot of the social agenda things that the Republicans that they are supporting are pushing because they're hurting business in St. Louis. And there comes a time when you have to stand up and say, look, I've supported you, but I'm not going to support you anymore because this is really bad for business. This is, you know, immoral to be passing legislation to discriminate against our neighbors and my employees, etc. It was good that they stepped up. I think it made a difference. I'd like to see them do more of that on other issues that matter to St. Louis.
You would think that the legislature would have been paying attention after hearing from business leaders in Missouri to not follow the example of North Carolina and Mississippi when it came to laws like this. But apparently they have their blinders on.
Well, they have their blinders on, and you have to understand what their incentive is. And just like in North Carolina, just like in Mississippi, members of the House and the Senate in the state legislature are gerrymandered into tiny little districts that are drawn in a way that the only voters that matter are the most conservative Republicans or the most liberal Democrats so that they are safe for those lawmakers. So that's who they're speaking to. Our system is broken because of how badly we do redistricting, so there is no incentive for lawmakers to have to speak to the great middle, and that's very frustrating.
Great points. Tony Messenger, St. Louis Post-Dispatch columnist, always online at stltoday.com. Thanks for joining me, Tony.
Thanks, Paul. Talk to you later.
I'm Paul Harris. This is the Big 550 KTRS.